Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank Business, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Kind enough to join us here is Brian Windhorst, host of the Hoop Collective podcast. New episodes every Sunday and Thursday. Guys, you can find it wherever you find your podcast. Brian, let me just start here. First of all, thanks for joining us here in Denver on The Fan. When we went into this season, I was looking at the Denver Nuggets. I was also considering the shifting of landscape in the Western Conference, the additions that the Los Angeles Lakers added, what the Clippers added, what the Utah Jazz added, what the Rockets added. And I said, man, the Nuggets could be a better basketball team, but they'll probably win less games than they did a year ago. But here they are. After 54 games, they are 38-16. Have they surprised you the way that they've surprised me?
Well, considering the injuries that they had, and also considering that Jokic just wasn't right at the start of the season. I mean, I was over in China covering the World Cup, and I saw him play live over there, and he just, you know, what do you want me to say? You guys know, he just wasn't into it, and he wasn't in shape. And considering that, plus they haven't been as dominant at home this year as they typically are, although they've had some great road wins. My God, those two back-to-back wins they had, wins on back-to-backs recently. I mean, that win in Milwaukee is one of the best wins of the NBA season. So they've shown that they're pretty resilient. You know, the thing when I looked at coming into this season, I felt like this was a golden window for the Nuggets, because in my view, the Clippers and the Lakers will be better a year from now. When you have to take your roster down to build through free agency, especially when getting stars, you're just inherently not quite up to par. You're going to be better after a year of, you get another transaction cycle. So I feel like this was a window for the Nuggets to go. And with all of their, you know, we knew that it was not going to be possible for them to keep all of these young players together once they got to the summer, just because, you know, there's only so many minutes and only so many millions that you can outlay. I thought this was their spot. And I actually think that had there been a star player available, or a real star player, the Nuggets would have been willing to swing for the fences. You know, had Drew Holiday, for example, actually ever come available, I think the Nuggets would have gone for it. They just didn't have that star to go all in for. All that said, here they are. They're in good position. It's really going to come down to how they execute at the end and whether they're playing their best basketball. It's going to be hard to knock off one of the LA teams, but they're going to get a shot at it.
We're visiting with ESPN's Brian Windhorst. Brian, thanks for joining us. That's what I wanted to ask you. They made a couple small-level trades, got rid of Hermann Gomez and Beasley there right at the trade deadline, got back a first-round pick. Zach speculated that there might be another move to be made there, and nothing ever happened. You're talking about the small window that they have right now. Do you think they were actively pursuing a big name out there and nothing came together, or were they just content with what they were able to do?
You know, it's hard to know because, well, first off, there wasn't a big name for them to get, really. There wasn't. I mean, there just wasn't a star out there. You know, Bradley Beal was not on the market. He was not allowed to be traded. You know, they weren't able to do it. I don't have a problem with it. There was nowhere they could go. Now, one of the factors with the Nuggets is that you don't know where ownership is on the luxury tax. The Kroenkes have paid the luxury tax in the past, but it's one of those things where it's really got to be an impactful move, and they were so close to it, it was unclear whether or not that was actually going to happen. But again, I really don't know, because there wasn't anything for them to go after. It wasn't like I said, oh boy, that one slipped through their fingers. I do think that Jordan McRae is a helpful addition. Now, I'm not expecting him to be an impactful player every night, but he is one of these guys who can absolutely get white hot. And if you play a six-game playoff series and he has one white hot quarter, which he is very capable of, you can be, you know, thanking Tim Connelly for making that move. I thought it was a low cost, potentially high upside move. And again, I don't want to make it seem like he's going to help you every night, but I actually thought that was, out of all the flurry of small moves that happened right at the buzzer, I actually thought that was one of the best ones.
Brian Windhorst of ESPN joins us here on Stokely and Zach here on The Fan. He's the host of the Hoop Collective podcast. New episodes drop every Sunday and Thursday. Check that out wherever you find your podcast. Brian, what's the ceiling for the Nuggets? You're referencing this unique window. The Lakers are kind of an upstart with the way that they've overhauled their roster. Same with the Clippers. Jazz have some new moving parts there as well. When you think of the ceiling for this team as it relates to this year alone, well, how do you quantify it?
Well, if you go talk to these players, I'm sure they'll tell you they think they can win the title this year. Do I see that? I don't see them beating the Clippers 4 out of 7. And I think that's ultimately what's going to determine, assuming health for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I don't see them doing that. But, you know, especially after they go into Milwaukee and win without their best team, they got to be thinking that. Now, you know, the thing that happens with the Nuggets is it's sort of the same thing that's happened in the past is, you know, when you get into, what I call a game five player. A game five player to me, it's 2-2, and you need your guys to show up because games 5, 6, and 7 are going to be wars. How many of those game five players do the Nuggets actually have? There's some guys you can say are maybes, some guys you can say probably not, and that's the thing. If we get to those scenarios and some of these guys show up, then all of a sudden I think, and I think that that window is there, but I don't have that information on them yet. They haven't done it. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we haven't seen them overachieve in the playoffs. They're still pretty young. They still haven't had many bites at the apple, but it's going to take them overachieving, you know, assuming health for the top teams. They can do it. I've seen it for flashes. I just haven't seen it in the postseason.
And we're visiting with ESPN's Brian Windhorst. Brian, I want to ask you about Michael Porter Jr., a guy that, you know, had the red shirt year last year, has slowly gotten to the lineup, and he's made some big impacts. He's had some big games for the Denver Nuggets. How do you view Michael Porter Jr.?
Well, they're being very cautious with him. They were obviously cautious last year. Mike Malone has been very cautious. He's like, holding a dog on the leash, you know, just holding him back. The organization obviously is highly invested in him because they think he is going to be, you know, they're probably not going to be able to be huge players in the free agent market, you know, going forward. This is their big guy that they're going to grow with this young core. And, he had this type of talent was why people were excited about him when he was 15 years old. I mean, he's been a guy who's been, you know, people have been sort of circling around and being excited about for a long time. And there's downsides to him. There's some concerns about his makeup and then obviously his back. And the Nuggets were, as you guys know, were in perfect position to take a gamble on him. And it looks like the gamble is starting to pay off. And it can pay off in different ways because even though right now he would be untouchable, let's say that there does become a star player available this summer or next fall. That's the type of player that you could use in a trade where you could acquire a lot of players in this league. And I know that if Josh Kroenke was on the phone, Tim Connelly were on this call, they would slam it down and say, we're never trading, you know, Michael Porter Jr. for anybody. Okay, I got it. But there will be star players to come available. And if the Nuggets, with their young core, with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, could add a superstar player, let's say, again, a Bradley Beal becomes available, that takes them to the next level. And, again, maybe they think Porter is going to be that player. But that's why it's, I think, important to watch.
Really good stuff, as always. Brian Windhorst of ESPN, he has got a podcast, the Hoop Collective podcast. If you're a basketball guy like I am, you're going to want to check this one out. New episodes every Sunday and Thursday, wherever you find your podcast. Brian, I've been a big fan of yours for quite some time, so this was a big kick for me. Appreciate you stopping by, Stokely and Zach.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good week.
All right. There he goes. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Brian Windhorst.
Yeah, really good.
Oh. You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.